It's a huge honor for each of us to carry that mantle of pastor. And we don't take it lightly, and we love y'all and appreciate you so much. So when I was a little kid, there was a word. I don't know if you've ever been told, stop dilly-dallying. That's like way old school, right? Yeah, and you're like, what? Stop dilly-dallying? What does that even mean? It means stop wasting time and get moving. Well, then I saw that and I came across this other word, stop lollygagging. And I'm waiting, is that like dilly-dallying or is it lollygagging? Oh, there is a distinct difference. Dilly, why am I telling you this? Because I'm actually going somewhere. Dilly-dallying means don't waste time. Lollygagging is you're hanging out with somebody and you're not doing what you need to do. So they're both wasting time, but one's like, quit hanging out with her. There's stuff to get done. Get it done. Okay, then there's this other word. You know how you're just looking at words? Okay, you don't. But let me just tell you, if you were like just looking at words, studying for your sermon, you would come across a word. I've never been asked to stop being shilly-shally. Does anybody know what that means? Well, I'm glad you came to church today because my sermon has to do with shilly-shallying. And you don't want to be a shilly-shaller. You're like, okay, I'm really glad we came today. We need to talk about this. We're talking about God wanting you and me to live the good life. And we're going through Psalm 23, and this phrase, kind of the fourth phrase that we're talking about today, it says this in Psalm 23b, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We've already said that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He not only provides, He wants to guide. And God, He not only protects, He wants to direct us. And I want to talk about this today because to be a shilly-shaller or careful. I'm having to read these are some strange words. But to be shilly-shallying means to be, and you're going to understand this now, a person who wavers in their thinking. Have you ever been in a spot where you have trouble making decisions? Is this the right thing to do? Should I get in? You know, should I know when to hold up, know when to fold up? You know, Pastor Kevin sang that a little bit today. I'm like, isn't that, who did I say it was? No, that's Kenny Rogers. Yeah, I didn't think it was Kenny Rogers. And he said, are you going to sing that? No. But, you know, you got it. There's sometimes, what do I do? What do I, you know, and we get stuck in our decisions. Should I take this job? Should I not? What do I do here? What do I do there? Even, have you ever done this? You finally made the choice and you're like, I don't know. Was that really the right thing to do? Or should I have not done that? And then there's this thing called shilly-shallying that we're paralyzed in our thinking. We don't know what to do. This weekend, it was a huge honor. It was a little bit stressful. We watched our grandkids. And it was a little more stressful for Sharon. But there were a couple times, like one time when the air compressor went off in the garage and little Maisie ran over to me. And then I was with Thorne in the Bass Pro Shop looking at the fish, and he says, can we go together? And here's what you need to understand about the Good Shepherd. He wants you to lean in to this. He wants you to lean in and understand He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Let me give you a couple of thoughts here when it comes to this. It says, he guides me. Why do we try to hide from the guide? You know, sheep, this is a psalm about a shepherd and sheep. And you know that sheep need a shepherd because they tend to wander. They need a shepherd to guide them where they need to go, beside still waters, to green pastures. And we need a guide as well. And I know, not all who wander are lost. I get it, it's a cute t-shirt. But in life, it's so easy for us to struggle and to struggle with decisions because we're hiding from the guide. Help me, Jesus, help me. Listen to what Isaiah writes. Every one of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own. And yet the psalm says here, he guides me. The fact is, whether you believe in Christ as your Savior or you don't, whether you would call yourself a believer or not a believer, none of us want somebody telling us what to do. None of us want to allow God to be the CEO of our life, to have him guide us. I mean, we want him to provide and all these things, but we hide from the guide because we want to do it our own way. And when we do it our own way, then we have trouble. Then we have stress. Then it's a life of shilly-shaller, and we just have this, it just makes it hard. Do you understand that God made you? His plan for you is just like Thorn or Maisie. Hey, can we do this together? You know, he'll lean in and wants a hug, and it's so good. But our nature isn't to follow. It's to do our own thing. He wants to help you make solid decisions in a shaken world. I went for a kind of a post-COVID check on Friday, and I was talking to the nurse, and we were talking about, I don't know, church and heaven or something. She goes, well, we all know where we're going. And I said, no, we may think we know where we're going, but there is a path that leads to God, and it's through his son, Jesus Christ, and everybody is welcome, but we have to follow that path. The scripture says, he guides me. Well, where does he guide me? It goes on to say, in paths of righteousness. He leads right, and the result of that is that we live right. When you lean into God's guidance, when you lean into God's provision, when you take a moment and say, maybe not my will, but your will be done, The chances of you doing it the way God wants you to do are so much greater than you just doing it on your own. I love that. I'm reminded with our grandkids how much I need the Lord. They're so sweet and so innocent. And the Lord wants us to lean into him in that way. I understand why it says to be like a child in your faith, not childish in our faith, but like a child, because you're leaning into the one who can guide you and help you. In James, it says this, God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anybody else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chooses to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possessions. Why is it that we want to hide from the guide? It's not only that he wants to guide us, but where does he want to guide us? He wants to guide you. He wants to guide me in righteousness. He's not going to direct us down a path towards our destruction. He's not going to try to sell something to you that's going to be harmful to you. It's a beautiful psalm, and it's so important that we understand that God wants you and me to have a relationship with him. You know, we all make decisions, and we understand that our decisions make us. And sometimes we make decisions that we find out later are not good. Have you ever bought something off of an infomercial and you realized it wasn't good? So like in the days of Noah, I saw this infomercial about the great Ginzu knives. Has anyone ever seen that? Maybe it was just in California. Ginzu knives. Like, I mean, they could cut through a railroad track. I mean, nothing could stop a Ginzu knife. So I ordered them and had them come to somebody else's house. Well, why is that? Well, because I didn't want Sharon to know. And then I got these Ginzu knives, and they were terrible. I mean, they were so wobbly. That wasn't what I ordered. And then there was the time I saw this magazine. I'm like, oh, this is so good. We bought this cute little house, and I wanted to do our landscaping. I ordered all of these plants. I mean, to landscape our whole house for like $32. And I thought, nobody has been this smart and got this many plants this cheap. Well, the UPS, I can't remember if it was UPS or FedEx or whatever, he came and I wanted to go outside to help him carry the plants. No, it was one little package. Like, what? That's not what I ordered. It barely has like, you know, a little stem, some roots, and like two leaves. This is a 100-foot tree I ordered. No. Have you ever been there where you're like, oh, I have just been sold a bag of goods? Yeah. It probably was when you were dilly-dallying. I'm sure of it. Do you understand that God doesn't do that? God's never going to take you down one of those paths that has a bad ending for you. And yet we have this thing inside of us that it's a sinful nature. We're born with it. And you have to constantly have that battle. Am I going to really follow the Lord, or am I going to do it my way? My way leads to a dead end. God's way leads to life, not only here, but for eternity. John, in his later years, he writes this. And maybe you've read this, but it's a great reminder for each of us what is valuable. John says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers a craving for physical pleasures, a craving for everything we see, and then pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but they're from this world. And the world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Some people, you know, I've heard over there, you know, God doesn't speak to me. God's not speaking. I can't hear what God wants me to do. And yet the scripture says that He wants to guide us, and he wants to guide us in righteousness. And I've wondered, is God not speaking, or are we not wanting to really hear what he has to say? And if God did speak to you, would you say, I'll obey you no matter what? And isn't that kind of the rub in life? God is speaking, but do we really want to hear what he has to say? It was like the farmer. He went to the attorney's office and he says, I'm filing for a divorce. And the attorney says, how can I help you? He says, I want to get one of those divorces. Attorney said, do you have any grounds? Got about 840 acres. No, you don't understand. Do you have a case for this? No, I don't have a case. I drive a John Deere. Okay, do you have a grudge? Of course I have a grudge. That's where I put my John Deere. The attorney said, sir, I meant, do you have a suit against you? Of course I have a suit. I wear it to church every Sunday. Says, does your wife beat you up or anything? Oh, no, sir. We both get up about 4:30. Okay. Let me make it real clear, said the attorney. Why do you want to have a divorce? Well, I can never have a meaningful conversation with her, sir. Hello. Sometimes I think with God, we don't want to hear what he wants to say, and so we can blame him. Well, God didn't do what I wanted him to do. We do it our way, and then we're mad at God because it doesn't work out. Understand this psalm today. It's so important. He wants to guide you. He wants to be there close and have you lean into him. These are, at best, uncertain times. And we don't have to have such indecision and not know what to do and feel scrambled in all of our emotions and how much stress are people living with today when God says, I want to be your guide. But don't hide from the guide. And he says, how am I going to guide you? Where? In paths of righteousness. He does the right thing so we can do the right thing. And then the rest of this verse is very interesting. It says, for his name's sake. Wait, you want to guide me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I thought about that and I thought, of course, the health of the sheep are a direct reflection of the shepherd. And you got to go way back to the book of Ezekiel to understand a little bit of what this is talking about and a little bit of the context. It says, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back not because you deserve it. I am doing it to protect my holy name, on which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations. I will show how holy my great name is, the name on which you brought shame. And when I reveal my holiness through you before their eyes, says the sovereign Lord, the nations will know that I am the Lord, for I will gather you up from all the nations and bring you home to your land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my commandments. God is saying, I want you to follow me because it brings glory to my name and it shows the world that there is a God. It brings glory to his name for him to take care of us, for him to have allowed his son to die in our place to replace that hard heart that we have with tenderness and love. Now, this didn't happen with our grandkids, but this has happened more than one time with our daughter, Natalie. hi, baby. Have you ever taken a toddler to the store and like they're perfect? And you've kind of built it up, okay, they're not hungry, it's before or after nap time. I mean, everything's perfect. They're cute and they're smiling. They go into the store, they see something they want. You turn the cart just slightly and they go into an absolute crazy mode. Yeah. And then you feel like, okay, people are looking at me like I'm bad. You know, you think, okay, they're calling DHS right now on me and my parenting. Well, nobody wants that. How many people love it when somebody says, your kids are amazing? And you're like, mine? Yeah. Have you never had that feeling? I mean, our kids were wonderful. And there were some times where people say, man, your kids are great. And you just had one of those times, and you're like, are we talking about the right kids here? Now you're going, how could he dare? We love our daughter. She knows that we love her. And now that she's grown up, she acts like an adult. And it's a beautiful thing. She does. And there's a sinful husband. Okay. Here's what you need to know. There. Why did I bring my family into this? Because we're just like you. Normal people trying to figure out how to live the good life in God. And here's the question that I think matters for you and me, at least at the moment. When people see you and see your life, does it bring glory to the Lord? Can people go, wow, you really are different? In a good way. You know, there's a lot of new believers in our country. We have someone who comes to our church. It made me really happy when they applied for a medical exemption to not have the COVID shot. Somebody said to them, we actually see how you live, and you're a real Christian. And then there's so many others who've gotten salvation instantly so they can have a religious exemption. But their lives, and I care less about the COVID thing. I know it's real. I'm not trying to say get vaccinated or not vaccinated. My point is this. People do watch you. And they watch me. And the scripture says, let your light shine in such a way that people will see your good works and that because of that, they'll glorify the Father in heaven. For his name's sake, it matters how we live. For his name's sake, it matters that we listen to his voice. For his name's sake, it matters that we understand he wants to lead us into righteousness. He's never asked us to be perfect, but he's asked us to pursue him. And it matters. God designed you to hear his voice. God designed you to lean into him because he cares about you so much. He's going to lead you the right way. How does he do that? There are so many principles in here that will guide you how to live. If you never spend time in the Word, then you're not going to have the capacity to make right decisions. You say, you're telling me if I'm educated and all that? I'm telling you that the Bible is true, and this is where I base my life. And this is how we need to live. And that's not a bad thing. So many people say, I want to enjoy the good life. Then connect to the good shepherd. Prayer is another huge thing. We all pray when we're absolutely desperate. I mean, we've got nothing else. Like, I don't know. I better throw up a prayer. Maybe it'll do something. But I've been seeing a different thing lately. Send good thoughts. Send good vibes. What? How about pray to God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth? How about the one who started it and the one who's going to end it, the one who can make a difference? How about let's pray to him and actually act like we know him? No. Good vibe. Good thought. Who thought of that? Somebody who's nuts. Don't ask me to give you a good thought. Don't ask me to send you a good vibe. Ask me to pray for you. And I want to pray for you. I care about you. I'm like, What? No. God wants to speak to you through his word. God wants to speak to you through prayer. God, I mean, I come on Sunday. I love Sunday morning because I know there's people who are going to share with me, and it's something that God would share with me. I know that there's times when you're in a time and somebody's teaching, and you're like, oh my goodness, it feels like I am the only one in this room, and they're talking to me. I think there's like, Pastor Jim, do you think God speaks through you? I absolutely do. Because he can use all of us. It's not just a pastor thing. He can use you, and so many times he has used you to speak into my life. That's why I want to be here. God can take the ordinary and do the extraordinary because of his greatness, because of his goodness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in these paths. He guides me. He wants me to be living for him because it represents him. Just kind of a last question that I want to ask me and ask you. What path today are you on? Would you say I'm on that path with the Lord? Hit some bumps, hit some hills. Sometimes it's hard, but I'm on that path. Or if we were super honest, would we say, I'm kind of on that path between the world and between God. I'm kind of good here, kind of good here. Love Sundays, but then there's Monday. I know this much. If you say, I want to be on the path God wants me on, he'll accept you just as you are. But it's not an easy path. It's not the convenient path. It's not the right way that the world is going. It's kind of like the opposite way. But it's the path if you want to live the good life. Last verse, and we'll pray together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Doesn't mean that you don't have a brain. Doesn't mean that you're not supposed to use your brain. But the first part, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Seek him in all your ways. And what does the scripture say? He will show you which path to take. Man, I love that. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Wow. That is a big deal. So many people are stressed out. So many people are living kind of in this shilly-shally kind of a, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know. I'm just so stressed out. All I know is this. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on just your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. It says he will direct your path. Man, I love that. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Fear the Lord. Turn away from things that aren't going to honor him because they lead us to dead ends, unfortunately. Healing in your body, strength in your bones. Come on, that's good stuff. That's beneath the surface. Great psalm. I love it. Can't wait till next week when we talk about the shadow of the valley of death and just some principles there that help us when things get really hard in life. But before we get there, he wants to be our guide. He wants to guide us in righteousness so we can bring glory and honor to his wonderful name. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Oh, thank you that you are. There's so many scriptures, so much about this. You're the good shepherd. You've laid down your life for the sheep. You're the good shepherd, and I pray today that you would guide us and that we would be able to trust you just like the grandkids trusted Sharon and me, that we were going to take them to the right place, that we weren't going to, they leaned into us when it got a little scary. I pray that we would trust you. God, you're going to lead us in a righteous way. And I pray, Lord, that you would lead us in such a way that it would affect how we live and it would matter to others. That they would see what you're doing in us and that it would bring glory back to your name. For your name's sake, we pray. Maybe today you would like me to include you in my closing prayer. Maybe there's a struggle. Maybe there's just something going on in family or with finance or just something. I just feel in my heart that somebody wished today that somebody would pray for them. And I want to do that. Not in an embarrassing way, obviously, but I want to pray for you. And here's what you don't know. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to look up at me. And why do I do that? Because this week, as the Lord brings you back to my remembrance, I'll pray for you. Why? Because I love y'all. Some of you I've just barely met today, but I still care about you. And I absolutely love Hope Church, that you can find hope here no matter where you're at. So if you say, Pastor Jim, include me in your prayer before we sing this last song, just look up at me. All right. Yeah, what an honor to be able to pray for y'all today. Yep. Yep, I'll pray for you. All right. Yeah, it's his goodness, isn't it, that leads us to repentance and wanting to do right. It's his goodness for you and me. Yeah. Yeah, I really do care about you. Let's pray this last prayer together, and then we'll stand and sing one last song before we go. God, here we are. Just in my mind, I feel like some of us, we want to be that good sheep, but we're kind of tattered. Feels like our mane, we've got a little mangled going on, and we've been roughed up. And Lord, will you accept us? We maybe don't feel like we're as good as the other sheep, but Lord, there's nothing that we could do that would cast you away from us. You left the 99 to find the one. And today, Lord, remind us of your goodness. I pray for each one who really they looked up to you, but I have the privilege to come to you with them and their requests, Lord. It's all about your goodness and wanting to be part of our lives. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with you. Teach us the difference between right and wrong. Cause us to lean into you when it gets hard and we don't have to do it ourselves. We don't have to be so stressed out. We don't have to be so worried about the decisions we're making because we're on solid ground when we're following your path. Lord, I pray that for the church, those who are here and those who are at home, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would keep them. Lord, that your face would radiate about them and that we would live in your peace, I pray. Jesus, it's your holy, holy name that we ask these things. Amen. Let's stand together.
As we stand and sing this last song today, we want to share the song with you. We learned it at CIY Move this summer. And the first verse talks about peace like a river, wash over me. This week, I got the chance to share this verse with somebody. It's John 14:27. The peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled nor fearful. My manager was really struggling this week. She was having a hard time. And I sent her a text with that verse included, and she said it had brightened her day. So hopefully this verse and this song can leave you guys with peace this week.